The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. And if you want to give me a call, all you have to do is just dial 877-207-2276. Same as always. Oh, okay. We have five open lines. Nobody's waiting right now, so I want to hear from you. And let's see. I modified the carm.org/radio page because because of the really, you know, decent atheist guy who believes in free speech and tolerance, who turned me in to YouTube and complained because I was mentioning stuff about COVID. And so I'm not allowed to do that, apparently. He said, stick to your theology, and not understanding that our theology says all things are subject to Christ. And so that was an issue. And so I'm off of, won't be streaming to YouTube, Facebook, but we are streaming to YouTube, Matt Slick. And we're also streaming to Facebook on Carm.org and on Odyssey, if you want to check them all out or any of them out. Not a big deal, but if you want to, all you got to do is go to carm.org/radio, and then you can see the heading there. It says, do you want to watch the show? It's not a big deal. It's just me sitting here in the office and doing the show. And then people in the chat room, and this is really the great thing, is the people in the chat room are awesome. And we have some good conversations in there and good stuff that goes on. So, all right, there you go. See, that was quick and slick. And like I said, nobody waiting, 877-207-2276. All right, I'll be teaching a Bible study tonight. We're going to be finishing up, probably, the book of Galatians. And we're going through chapter 6. I'm almost done with my prep for tonight. After the show, I'll do a little bit more prep and have a few verses to analyze and comment on and write them up in my notes. And then we publish that online as well. And you can actually get to the same place. I may have to go there to Bible study and do that. That's an interesting thing. I think I might do that as well, create a Bible study page. And, let's see. Check and see what's on Carm. So that's one option. And also, I was in a debate last night and would be interested in anybody's feedback on what you thought. I was in a debate, formal debate, with a guy from England, and he was saying that the Trinity's not true. And, boy, did this guy make a lot of mistakes. I mean, man. So many mistakes in his argumentation. And, of course, the people who follow his thinking, they don't care about his mistakes. They don't care about anything I might say that might not be kosher. And what I really got a kick out of something he said, which I laughed. I mean, not mockingly, but it was like, are you serious? Because it was a time back, and he actually quoted this. He actually referenced this where I was talking to somebody about the Trinity, how difficult the Trinity can be to comprehend and deal with. And I said, and jokingly, I said, one time I thought I had it down, and my mind went boof. And so I lost 20 IQ points, you know, trying to think about it. And he actually quoted that. He said, this just says that the Trinity is confusing, and you even admit it. I'm like, dude, I was joking around, you know. And so he actually said it twice as an evidence that the Trinity's not true. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And it was cracking up. And he said everything was confusing, and he wanted explicit statements in Scripture. Does the Scripture anywhere say there's one God and three distinct simultaneous persons? I said, no. It doesn't say those words. And this was his line of argumentation. And another thing he did that was most people do in cults, you'll ask them a specific verse. Can you look at this verse? And instead of looking at it, they go someplace else, quote something about a concept that might be found in there, and then say, that's why this can't mean what you say, Matt. What? I said, look at the verse. And so it was kind of fun. Anyway, he didn't do well. But if you want, you want to give me a call, I'd love to hear from you. You can give me a call. Let's see, you did better than me, man. I lost 40. Okay. I'm sorry. So Richard says in the chat, he says, you did better than me, man. I lost 40 IQ points listening to Taylor. So, oh, I can't help it. I'm cracking up. So, Anyway, it's fun stuff. Yeah, so he could tell. Call up and let us know what you think, Richard. It'd be fun because I like talking about stuff, particularly after debates. Okay, I got to calm down now. And three open lines if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Fail from Greensboro, North Carolina. Welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Brother Matt. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm fine. Thanks for calling back.
Yeah, okay, one question.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is in reference to Isaiah 53, verse 5.
Okay.
By his stripes, we are healed.
Uh-huh.
And every minister that I know always takes that particular scripture out of context.
Yes.
And they make it believe it's about physical healing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go back and look at the what Isaiah was prophesying, and look at the reference in other scripture, like John 3:16, I think that's one in Jeremiah chapter 17, it's about spiritual healing, it's about atonement,
right. Right.
It's about reconciliation.
That's right.
So why do most ministers take that out of context?
Because most ministers that you're talking about are not good at interpreting scripture, don't understand biblical theology, and are in it for the gain. God wants you to be healthy and wealthy, and this is why he did this. So if you don't have enough faith, you won't be healed, and it's part of the name it and claim it, blab it and grab it theology that's being taught heretically from a lot of pulpits today.
So what I'm hearing you say, Matt, is that I am correct.
Yeah.
But, you know, to correct these ministers who've been preaching this for years,
mm-hmm.
I think they will probably get around it and try to make it seem like it's also including physical healing, because in the atonement and salvation, you do have physical healing. But that's not what Isaiah was referring to in this particular
right.
incident.
Right. If we are healed by his stripes physically, then if we're a Christian, why aren't we healed of our physical problems?
Correct. Right. Why do, and we still have health issues, we still die, we still have faith, but we still get sick.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Absolutely correct. Yep. In fact, in the previous verse, surely our griefs he himself bore and our sorrows he carried, yet we ourselves mm-hmm. esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. That's actually fulfilled before the crucifixion in Matthew 8:18. Because,
mm-hmm.
yeah, people
Absolutely.
Don't realize. Yeah, they're just like, what? And they don't realize a lot of what's going on. In fact, in my last debates, impromptu debates and formal debates I've had with people who claim to be Christians and deny essential Christian theology, one of the things I've seen most common is their lack of ability to learn how to interpret Scripture. And
mm-hmm.
they have an agenda, and they put the agenda over the text, and it has to mean what they think it means because they're emotionally committed to it. And
But Matt, you know what? Yeah. I'm not so sure that is totally true, because I can really say I have quoted that same scripture out of context the same way, because I was mm-hmm. taught that.
That's right.
So I'm thinking that, and I never did go back. I mean, I read it, but since it was in my mind, I've been taught that that's what it meant. I never did study it because I just assumed that was true. So I'm thinking a lot of ministers are not being stubborn in the thing that they really, just like me, never went back to study mm-hmm. that particular scripture, and they're just mm-hmm. repeating what they heard over the years.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things I would love to do is have a seminar where ministers are together, and I go through the process of biblical hermeneutics, and we have exercises, and I show them verses that don't fit yeah. their motif. One of the mm-hmm. basic things I'll do is say, you know, two men in the field, one is taken, one is left, that's the rapture. And by far, most people say, of course it is. And I'll say, well, right. let's look at the context, and then they discover it's not about the rapture. And this is just an mm-hmm. exercise that I'll do with people, and they're surprised. And I say, why is it you've been teaching this if it's not biblical? How come you're not doing your exercising? I'm trying to get them to see. And then another thing is when I teach things like God's election, people resist it. They don't want it. But that's what the Bible. Yeah, but the Bible says it. And I show them the verses, and they do whatever they can to resist. And the reason is because they're submitting the Bible to their preferences. And Christians do this in Protestantism and Jehovah's Witness, Eastern Orthodox and Roman Catholics do it with their church and their tradition. So,
you're so right. And please, don't get on the election. You can show them black and white. You can go to John 6:37. You can go to Ephesians chapter 1 this week. They won't believe it.
Wow. You're absolutely...
They don't believe.
It's right. They don't want to. Why? Because...
Because they've been fed a lie.
They've been fed a lie,
and they believe the lie.
Yep, and they're humanists. See, humanism... Humanism is using ourselves as a standard of truth. God would never elect somebody just to go to heaven or hell. He would never do that. Why? Well, because Jesus is the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian surfer dude, and he's nice, and he won't do that kind of a thing. But how do you know? Because he wouldn't. How do you know? Because I say so. Because he wouldn't. And that's it, because he loves everybody, does
that's
he?
Right.
And I show him Psalm 5:5, God hates those who do iniquity. Does he love everybody? Well, that just means he loves them less. That's not what it says. It doesn't say he loves them less. It says he hates them. I show all this to people. Right? And then they go, no, it can't mean that. Why? Because Jesus is the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian surfer dude dressed in a woman's nightgown at the door of your heart asking for permission to come in to your heart because you're the sovereign of your own life. Yeah, it's idolatry.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. And you know what? And they don't understand that there are three characteristics about our God. He gives us justice, mercy, and also grace. And sometimes you don't get grace, and sometimes you don't get mercy, and sometimes you just get justice.
Uh-huh.
And people don't like when God shows justice.
No, they don't.
They want him to always show grace and mercy.
That's right. Yep, you're right. Absolutely.
All right.
That's
Thank
right.
you.
You're welcome. Call back anytime, okay?
I love you, Matt. All right.
Oh, well, thanks. Bye-bye. Appreciate it. Okay, God bless. All right. Yep. That was enjoyable. I always like her when she calls. She's fun. Let's get to Jacob from Wisconsin. Jacob, welcome. You're on the air.
Should the civil magistrate enforce the first table of the law?
Well, I can't understand you. Say it again.
Should the government, civil magistrates, enforce the first table of God's law?
What do you mean by the first table?
Are the commandments relating to God.
What do you mean by the canons relating to God? You talk about specific laws.
You know,
which ones?
There's the first table of the law.
You mean the Ten Commandments? You mean the Ten Commandments?
Yes.
Of two? Yeah, they're not first table and second. It's all 10 and 10. Because
the commandments dealing between man and God, and then the second table dealing between
It's not two tables. Not two tablets with 4 and 6, or 6 and 4, or 5 and 5. And I'll explain why after the break, okay? So please hold on. I'll explain why that's not correct. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Two open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back. Please.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Jacob, are you still there?
So
hello? Yes,
you're
are you still there?
It's not biblical.
I'm sorry.
You're saying it's not biblical when people say that the first four commandments are dealing with between God and man, and the second and the later ones are dealing between man.
No. No, you said the first table, and that means the tables means the physical two tablets, and then one tablet had 1 through 4, and the second had 6 through 10, or 5 through 10. That's what I was going to address. Okay. Are you there?
Well, yeah, I'm not talking about that. I'm just,
okay.
That's theological wording that people use, saying the first and second table of the law.
Yeah. Well, the first one's a deal with mankind, but your question dealing with should the magistrates enforce biblical law, those are yes and a no. They should, if they're going to be led by the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and all those in power are servants of our Lord. And we don't live in a situation like that. We have to be careful when we do, because people often misuse their power, as you can see by just looking on TV. So
you are saying that they should enforce, like, suppress idolatry, blasphemy?
Well, you have to be careful. You see, what the government is obligated to do ultimately is serve God, the true and living God. Governments are established by God, and they should be there to administer the truth. So they should not be legislating the legality of abortion and homosexuality, as an example. They should be promoting the harmony of families. They should not be promoting fornication or the breaking of our laws, like opening up the borders to illegals to come flooding in. They should not do that kind of a thing. They should not promote socialism either, because the Bible speaks against socialistic ideas. It speaks in favor of capitalist ideas, and it really does. People don't know that our country was founded by people who were Puritans, who derived governmental systems out of the Bible. And I've got an article on that on CARM. So the government ought to be doing what is right. Now, the level and degree of enforcement, that's the issue. I don't believe in killing homosexuals or abortion doctors who murder babies. I think that they need to be dealt with in an appropriate manner, and that would be determined under a system where biblical truth is not thrown into the cat box. Okay?
So the law where God says that murderers must be put to death, that doesn't apply?
Well, I wouldn't say yes or no, because part of the issue is we're under the new covenant. And then we have to work theologically through the issue of how many of the Ten Commandments are still true. And the only one in the Ten Commandments that's not reiterated is the Sabbath. So, in the New Testament, that is. So if we're going to talk about the law, then do we obligate people to follow the Sabbath? And on Saturday, they don't have any businesses open, or if they want to say it's on Sunday. But if they're going to do Sunday, then they're admitting that it's the New Testament covenant. And if it's the New Testament covenant, then where does it say in the New Testament to put to death homosexuals? It doesn't. And so this is not an easy thing to work through. People could look at the Old Testament and say certain things were required and certain judgments upon them. But the Old Testament covenant was abrogated with the arrival of Christ and his death. And the New Testament covenant is now in effect. And nothing in the New Testament talks about Christians and governmental systems killing homosexuals or abortionists. And so we have to take the principles and apply them fairly and equitably. And that's where the experts would have to come in and develop that, and I don't have that depth of knowledge, if that makes sense.
But isn't the death penalty affirmed in the New Testament?
It is with the state in Romans 13, that the state has the power to execute, use the sword. And generally what's understood is it's dealing with murderers and rapists and things like that, extortioners, kidnappers. That's generally how it is, though nothing in there states that. So this issue of how far do we go, that's the issue. I've never studied it that in depth, to go through and find out minutiae. So I think if a Christian nation exists, where the people in population, in control, so to speak, are Christians who serve God, then they would naturally never promote homosexuality or abortion, and they would work to stop it. And those who had committed those things, they'd have to find an equitable means to deal with them that would be biblical in the New Testament context. Okay?
And then doesn't Paul affirm the death penalty when he says, if I've done anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die?
Well, I think the context he's talking about is the Jews who wanted to kill people because they believed they were still under the Old Testament covenant system. And so if he says, if I've done something worthy of death, then bring it on. But he can't show that he has. He's talking to them about their Old Testament context, but we're not in that now. And so we're in the New Testament, and this is why it's more difficult. Because if we're going to talk about keeping the law, and we want to, you know, kill homosexuals, as the Bible talks about doing in the Old Testament, do we then also judge people and punish them for working on the Sabbath in the new economy, in the New Testament time, if it was a Christian nation completely? That's a question we'd have to ask. But then we have the issue of, well, if Christ is our Sabbath, then we don't have to do that, do we? And then we get into discussions of theological necessity. It becomes difficult. Okay? Are you there?
But, like, for example, with murder, murdering a baby, that would be murder. So
yeah.
Why wouldn't there be the death penalty for that?
I think there should be.
A man come along and said that he had a better penalty than what God came up with?
I agree.
Or know what God decreed?
What I'm trying to do is say that the Christians in control in a situation like that would have to do what is proper according to what they could find in the whole of Scripture. That's what I'm saying. And I don't know all the nuances. And so at this point, I can't go really further to say they should or should not be. I have talked to people who say all abortionists should be killed. And what do you do with, here's another question, what do you do with a couple who are unbelievers and she gets an abortion and he was for it, and then later they get married and then they become Christians and they confess that is sin? What do you do? Do you go in and kill them? So these things, you can't just say, here's how we are to do all of it. There are always situations we have to be as gracious as possible and bring people to the place of repentance and confession of sin and move forward. There are certain things that we would have to punish absolutely, and other things we'd have to say, what do we do with these? Because the theology gets deeper than most people realize when you discuss these things, particularly in the blending of the Old and New Covenant, and what aspects of the Old Covenant would be maintained in the New. So, okay? All right, buddy?
I had one other question.
Well, we got other callers waiting. Why don't you call back, get in line, okay? Got some good questions, but call back in line. All right. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned. Be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Let's see, let's get to Eve, or Ev, from Iowa.
No,
welcome.
It's Ev.
Ev, all right.
Right.
All right, man, what do you got, buddy?
Well, I'm lacking in wisdom, and I've been going over a verse that says the foundation of wisdom is a bubbling brook. And 18:4 of Proverbs, and I just blew it today with a fellow worker, and I really felt bad. I had to apologize, and I said to him, God is after you, and I've said it other times. It's kind of cute, maybe 3 months ago, but boy, he got upset, cursed me out, and then I apologized later.
Wait a minute, I didn't quite get it. What did you say that upset him?
Well, probably the third or fourth time I said, God is after you.
God is after you?
Cute. Right. Well, some of us have been praying for his salvation. And maybe 4 months ago, it was kind of cute, and he kind of took it, you know, but he really got upset today. And so after work, I apologized and asked his forgiveness. So my question is, even though I'm going through that verse of the foundation of wisdom is a bubbling brook,
mm-hmm.
Proverbs 18:4b. And so I wanted you to expound a little bit more on wisdom and how to acquire it.
How to acquire wisdom? Oh, how to acquire wisdom. Well, if I knew, I would tell you. Because Let me just say that a lot of people would look at me and think that I am lacking wisdom. My wife would definitely confirm that. You could call her up after the show and say, is your husband wise? She'll say, after she's done laughing, then you can try the question again. She'd come back, what'd you say? Logically, biblically, wisdom is obtained by studying God's Word. And in Psalm 119, let's see if I can remember this. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies. That's Psalm 119:98. And there's some other ones like that. I am more wise, I think it says, than my teachers, for I follow your word. So it's stuff like that in Psalm 119. I'm trying to find it. Our wisdom is learning from God and believing and trusting what God says. That's obviously a wise thing to do. So wisdom, I like to define as the proper use of knowledge. So we get knowledge, but how to use it properly.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I like to say it as, the proper use of knowledge. Look, I was debating a kid a few days ago who spoke at 80 miles an hour throughout all kinds of stuff, and then, you know, he had knowledge without wisdom. He didn't know how to put things together properly. And so that was an example. And that's often the case with the youth. You know, as Mark Twain said, you know, the youth is wasted on the young. And so that's one thing about wisdom. And in Proverbs 8, it talks about wisdom. And so you can study in that. But the best way to get wisdom is to study the Word of God. And another way is to learn from your mistakes. Now, you'd think my wife at that point would say, I'm super wise because of all the mistakes I've made. But one of the things we do is review our successes and our failures, and we try and learn from them, and that's another way of gaining wisdom.
Okay. Well, that helps.
All right.
Pray for me right now.
right now? You need wisdom? No, you did fine, man. You did fine. You're just trying, and here's the thing is sometimes you can say the same thing to one person and it's great. Another person you say the same thing to and it's wrong. Well, how do you know? You don't. And if you go too far, which you know, we've all done, you just own up and you say, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to, you know, make it bad and stuff like that. I apologize. And you just move on, particularly among men. You know,
well,
we move on.
That's what I did because Satan was bothering me the rest of the afternoon.
Who? What? What? Wait, 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 wait. Who was bothering you?
Satan was.
Satan was bothering you?
Wanted me to feel guilty, but there's.
Wait a minute, wait a minute. Whoa. Wait a minute.
Yes?
So now Satan is the one tempting you to feel guilty?
Well, let's be careful. I wasn't feeling the best of spirit.
Okay. Well,
until I got it right with this guy.
The Holy Spirit convicts the world, as people in this context, concerning sin and righteousness. So, if the Holy Spirit in us will convict us of our sin, look to Him.
Yes.
Don't look to Satan as a teacher, as anyone who's getting on you, and this is why you had to repent of something. That's extremely dangerous. Always look to Christ, all right? Because that's lack of wisdom if you do that, all right? Look to Christ instead. And yes,
that really makes sense, Matt.
Yes,
thank
it does.
You very much,
it's
rather
true.
Rather than worry about him, just the Spirit was working in my heart that I needed
absolutely
to go and ask for forgiveness.
Absolutely. I remember one instance.
Romans 8:1.
Okay, no condemnation. Yeah. Uh huh. Yeah, no condemnation for those who are in Christ. You don't have to worry about. You know, hear me out here. You don't have to worry about messing up. In the sense that, oh, you mess up, God's not going to like you anymore, Jesus isn't going to be favorable to you anymore because you messed up. Don't worry about that, because His love for you is not dependent upon how good you are, how wise you are. On the other hand, you want to be concerned about how you are because you want to represent Christ properly. But don't make the mistake of thinking that God's approval of you is based on your performance. God's approval of you is found in Christ. And so always look to Christ. Never look to any demonic forces for correction, teaching, or admonition. Always and only look to God, period. And along these lines, a lot of people make this huge mistake. They think that the devil's next to them, and they will in prayer address Satan. I rebuke you, Satan, and blah, blah, blah. They're praying to the devil. They should never do that. You always talk to Christ. You know, Christ, would you rebuke the evil one, etc. Yeah, people make lots of mistakes. All right? That's why they should listen to me on the radio. I'll help them out.
Oh, I do. I do.
With little wisdom.
I do every day.
Oh, good.
I do every day.
Well, that I'd like to say you're super wise for doing that, but you only learn what I know, so that's not going to help you too much.
I brag on you, brother. I tell people you ought to listen to Matt Slick. He's on 5 o'clock, Monday, Friday, 99.3 in Iowa.
All right.
In fact, I told somebody the other day.
Okay. I'll have to send you a check. Yeah, I could appreciate that.
You know how to spell my last name. Well, thanks a lot, brother. Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right, man. Okay, buddy. God bless.
Bye.
Okay. All right. Next longest waiting person is Rick from High Point, North Carolina. Rick, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you, Matt. Just want to make reference to the earlier caller from Greensboro. High Point's only about 15 minutes away. Mm-hmm. She was talking about the context of by his stripes, we are healed. I totally agree with you and her. People just don't get it. But you were commenting on, one time I heard you say, and she was commenting on the black church, how dogmatic a lot of the, and primarily black preachers are. And she's right. You said you enjoyed going to a black church one time.
Oh, yeah, that was weeks ago. Yeah, I do.
It was. I listen to you every day. But the point being, and you're right, but I'm going to say something to you, Matt. Now, you're not black. I am. So I'm going to tell you.
All right.
A lot of that comes from when I was 16, I was nowhere near Christ at that time. But I went to church because my sister was married to a preacher. I heard his mentor, the pastor, say, because people were, spirit was high, they were yelling, screaming, shouting. I heard him say out of my own, with my own ears, I remember when John got Mary pregnant. I heard him say that. And everybody in the church said, amen. And you know why? Because they had got caught up in the spirit. Yes. I looked at her, I said, see you later. I'm out. And I left. Secondly, I've always, in other words, in a lot of churches, and I have to keep reference to the black church as I am, because for years, she was exactly right. Black preachers were, they were just brought up believing one thing without study. They were just dogmatic about what was preached to them without studying it for themselves. Now,
they gotta study.
We'll leave that one alone. In the Bible, I keep hearing people talking about baby killers, which is wrong. But, I mean, murderers. But murdering versus killing is, please tell these people, is totally two different things. Totally different. And they don't seem to get it. The Bible speaks of, thou shalt not murder.
Right. Murder and killing
there is
different.
A time to kill.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what, they don't get that also. Now, the last one, I want you to help me with something. You hear a lot of, I'm into politics, science, blah, blah. And you hear people say, well, the earth is like billions and millions of years old. Man, I have a hard time believing that. I want your own opinion on that.
Well, after the break, I'll give it to you, okay? So hold on, buddy.
Okay.
All right. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. No open lines. So you're just going to have to wait for me a little tomorrow. Hey, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. All right, let's see, where were we? That's right, we were with Rick at High Point. Hey, Rick, welcome back.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Now I was going to say something.
Yeah, I was asking you your opinion on the earth being billions of years old.
No, I don't believe it. Nope, do not believe it.
I don't either.
No, I don't believe millions of years old. No,
I don't either. Okay, and one other thing. I want scriptures to help me. Now, I know the Bible very well, but not like you. I have differences of opinion with you a lot on the radio, and it's fine.
You can be wrong. I don't mind. It's okay.
Well, there you go. when I want to verify me being wrong, I talk to Matt. Okay.
Okay.
my point is, you're sort of like my dad says. It's hard to argue with a man when he's right. 99.9% of the time, when you tell somebody something or give your opinion, 99.9% of the time, you back it up with scripture. Well, see, that's hard to argue with. Now, I'm not saying you're perfect. Ain't nobody perfect.
That's
but
right.
When you talk to somebody about Christianity and not religion, then you immediately say, go to this, go to Romans, go to this. Well, how do you argue with that? Now, the argument comes most of the time is with people who interpret the way. That's why I'm going to CARM. I'm learning how to use my phone. I'm a senior citizen. But I'm learning to go to hermeneutics. Is it humanetics or hermeneutics?
Hermeneutics.
Hermeneutics.
Yeah. So well, you got a question. We got people waiting. So.
Anyway, yes. Give me a couple of scriptures to help me with my humility.
With your humility? Philippians 2,
yes,
5 through 8.
Yes, until
actually,
until
just read Philippians 2. Philippians 2, 1 through 8.
5 through 8.
1 through
okay.
8 is good,
thank
better.
You, Matt.
And also Colossians
okay.
chapter 3, 1 through 17. That'll spank you.
1 through 17.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too, right, man. God bless. All right. Let's see. Next longest waiting person is, wow. Let's see. Loretta from Raleigh. Oh, we lost Loretta. And let's get over to Maureen. Hey, Maureen. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi. So
hello?
What do you got? Hello. You're on the air.
Okay. So I was listening to you talking with the lady who was talking about the Ten Commandments, the two tables she referred to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kind of sounded like, and I agreed with you on how, you've got to be careful about how you interpret those and apply them. So I wanted to say that my viewpoint is that the Ten Commandments were established by God for his people when they came out of Egypt. As individuals, we please God by following those commandments, not murdering, not stealing, not coveting, not lying.
Can I ask what church you go to?
I don't go to church.
Okay.
I read a lot.
Do you believe that Jesus is God in flesh?
Yes.
Okay. And are we saved by grace through faith without any works? We just trust in Christ by faith, we're made right, and then we do good works because we're Christians. Is that what you believe?
Yeah.
All right.
So when I kind of got the impression that there are people who think that like you said, it gets kind of dangerous when you put God's laws into the hands of mankind to enforce.
Well, that's what have to have God's laws. That's the only way to have something that is universal and true. Because man's laws are bad. And we have our socialist moron wackos who are in control now are saying abhorrent things, like privileges of being able to travel and the idiocy because they don't believe in God. Right.
But at the same time, you've heard of Noahide laws,
yes.
haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And we actually had, a previous president. I don't know the details on it, but...
Well, do you have a question?
No, I didn't have a question. I wanted to share the viewpoint. It kind of helped... the lady that called in that, it sounded like she wanted, abortionists to be murdered and And like well, there, you said,
this is a this whole thing is a very it's a very difficult topic to work through. People think some people think it's very easy, but I can ask questions that expose some weaknesses in certain arguments. Not that we don't want to enforce certain things, but we've got to be careful how we do it. And we just got to be careful.
Exactly.
That's all.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for taking my call.
All right. Well, God bless. All right. Thanks for calling, Maureen. Okay.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Let's get to CJ from Boise. CJ, welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah. Thank you for taking my call. So mm-hmm. I have two things. One, just very brief. I have a channel, and I just wanted to invite you to a Reformation Day special we're having on the 31st, if you would like to or not. It's all open mic, but it's all celebrating the Reformation.
Wow. Where?
My channel's called The Synagogue, CHEPYNICOGUE.
Well, you'd have to email, you have to email the information to me, because I know you're here in Boise area, so, you know, that's no problem. But, I don't know what I'll be doing on Halloween, because my wife, who's the official, secretary, tells me what we're doing, and so I have to run things by her, if you get my drift, so...
Absolutely. Well, and just to give you kind of a general idea, it's all on online. It would just be open mic as far as a StreamYard kind of thing. But we're just wanted to get as many both Protestants and Catholics, even Orthodox too, to come in and just try to discuss from 12 to 6 Mountain Time, so people can come in and out and in and out and all that kind of stuff.
Oh,
so
if I was there,
information and all the
if I was there, it would become a debate with me and the Catholics, because Catholicism is not Christian.
Me as well. Believe me, I'm quite a Protestant firmly.
Okay. Right. But send me the information. You never know.
I just wanted to invite you with that, number one. Mm-hmm. But then I wanted to also ask a question related to that, which was I personally, I believe that Catholicism is as different from biblical Christianity, at least, as, say, Mormonism or Islam or Judaism. And so as a result, I refuse under any circumstances to partner in apologetics with a Catholic. I was wondering, do you think that is going too far, or do you think that modern Protestants maybe go far enough?
No, Catholics are objects of evangelism. You don't partner with unbelievers who have a pseudo-gospel and a false church, who teach works righteousness and curse the biblical doctrine of justification, and then teach the re-sacrifice of Christ in the Mass and grace as a substance that is infused into the soul through the sacraments of the Catholic Church, which has the power over your salvation through its membership and authority. No, I would never partner with the Roman Catholic as far as apologetics go. I would just be immediately saying, so you're Catholic, huh? Okay, well, let's talk. I'm on it. I believe Catholicism is absolutely bankrupt. And I have my outlines on Catholicism, my 8.5 by 11 on my outline, you know, an outline, is 181 pages just on Catholicism. So.
And so to kind of ask, kind of pointed about the question, or not the question, the phrase I had used, would you say it's fair to say, with respect and love, of course, because I love my Catholic brothers in humanity, but that talking to a Catholic is no different functionally than talking to, as far as like the way you evangelize, than talking to a Muslim or a Mormon?
Well, Muslims, and Catholicism, at least Catholics believe the Bible, where Muslims don't. So I would go internally with Muslim soteriology and go to Surah 23 and talk about righteousness and go to other things. But with Catholicism, you know, you have to go through the verses that deal with their Catholic heresies and how they interpret stuff. So you have to work from inside the scriptures. And as the case with Eastern Orthodox and with Catholicism, they don't believe in sola scriptura, they believe in sola ecclesia. So it's what the church tells you the Bible means. That's what it. That's where the authority is, what the church says. And they have their. I find most Catholics, Catholic apologists, to be incredibly arrogant in their assumptions and their approaches. It's just me. So So, okay.
All right, that's my question, and I appreciate you answering.
All right, man. Well, God bless, buddy. Thanks. All right. That was CJ from Boise, and let's get over to Mickey from Arizona. Hey, Mickey. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So, my question is about Mormon coworkers and friends.
Uh-huh.
What's the best way to talk to them about Christ and talk to them about the gospel without confusing them? Like, what terms?
Sure.
I know there's
what
a lot
I would
of
recommend,
terms that they use that mean different things. And so,
what I'd recommend.
Where do you begin? And.
What I'd recommend is go to CARM, and on CARM, do a search for The True Jesus. There's an article there called The True Jesus Approach of Evangelism, and it's to the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses. It works with both. So let me see. It's been a long time since I've even looked at it, make sure it's still there. We switched websites not too long ago. Let's see, The True Jesus Approach. Do you have The True Jesus? It's found in the Bible. And, yeah, I think it's a test. Do you have The True Jesus? And, yeah, there it is. So what you can do is just go through and read that, because the basic principles is this. The Jesus of the Bible is true, and the Mormons will agree. The Jesus of the Bible is prayed to. The Jesus of the Bible is worshipped. The Jesus of the Bible is called God. They might agree with all of those. And you can say, well, do you pray to Jesus? And they'll say, well, yeah, we do. Of course we do. I'll say, good, let's do that together sometime. And they don't pray to Jesus. They never do. They pray through Jesus, but not to. And the point is that Jesus of the Bible is specifically prayed to, and I have the references there. And so if their Jesus is not prayed to, then it can't be the same one as the Bible, because the Jesus of the Bible is prayed to, and he's worshipped, and he's called God, and there's only one God in all places, all time. So this is, it's called the True Jesus Approach, and you can talk to them about just your relationship with Jesus and praying to Christ, focusing on him. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
I
hope
know
that helps.
They put a lot of emphasis on their own testimony.
Yeah, it's just a feeling. It's subjectivism. And there's a way to get through with that as well, because if their testimony comes from the Holy Spirit, as they say, well, who sends the Holy Spirit? Well, the Father does and the Son does, and the Son reveals the Father. So the only way to get the Holy Spirit is through Jesus. Do you pray to him? Do you worship him? Do you call him God? Because that's a true one. Same approach. Okay? We got to go. Sorry about that.
Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Hey, Debbie from North Carolina, sorry for that. And Chris from Indiana, you waited a long time. Call back tomorrow. Talk about the wisdom topic, okay? Hey, everybody, I hope you had a great time. Tonight I'm teaching a Bible study in 2 hours, two and a half hours, that is. And you can go to carm.org/calendar for that if you want. We'll talk to you later. God bless. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.